Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Coaches, we moved through a number of seasons in our role as a coach, and right now, we're in that period between off-season and our last season, but there's some things that start to fall in place right here, and one of those things is recruiting season, and that's what we're going to talk today on the podcast about. What we also want to focus on, though, is something that is coming up quickly and is going to hit in January, and that is clinic season. And a great event, and I want to say it's really more than a clinic, is our national conference. So you are going to get all your X's and O's. You're going to get some great on-field sessions where you can see technique demonstrated in a number of areas, including our advanced shoulder tackling and our contact system, which is a system for both defeating blocks and blocking. You can check those out in general at footballdevelopment.com. But I want you to consider going to our national conference. Go to usafootball.com, NC19 podcast. If you enter the code podcast99, you'll be able to save on registration. As I've been mentioning here, there's a number of great coaches who are coming there to either do a keynote session, to do a chalk talk session, to do an on-field session. You can meet with coaches from around the country. We do a really good job setting things up and giving you time to do that networking, to sit down at a table with a guy and share a cold drink and share ideas, whether that's on a napkin or a legal pad, or just ideas that you have in general about running your program and the issues that you need to solve within your own program. Check it out at usafootball.com, NC19 podcast. Today's topic of the podcast is recruiting season, and we're in a period right now where coaches are going to be coming into your school, and at the time this is being aired, you've already been to some type of recruiting event potentially, or you have one coming up in the next week. It also means that there's going to be a lot of coaches coming through your school, and I want to share some perspective today from both sides of it, from being a high school coach and being that college coach who's showing up to find out who your best players are coming up in the next season. A lot of times you don't have to worry about those prime time recruits. That stuff kind of starts to take care of itself. Those guys are going to show up to see them. They're going to contact you to see them. But you have all these other guys who may be interested in playing college football, and those are the guys you want to be able to help out. We talked about transitions the other day with the doctors and how it's important to have some kind of transition plan for your seniors as they leave the program. And this is an important part of it for those guys who want to continue their career. I think it is a coach's duty to be able to help them through this process. I know that some coaches get way more involved than others, but I think there has to be some kind of a general base or foundation which every coach takes part in. And so today we're going to share some of those ideas to help you be successful during this recruiting season. First, let's handle some common things here and understand when coaches are really going to be coming into your school and calling on you. And in order to do that, in order to understand the calendars, the recruiting calendars that are out there for the FBS, FCS, and Division II, it's important to understand the different periods. So the first one is a contact period, okay? A contact, first of all, is any time that a college coach says hello during a face-to-face contact with a college-bound student-athlete or his or her parents off the college's campus. So that, in general, is the definition of a contact. The contact period is the period during which a college coach may have face-to-face contact with a college-bound student-athlete or their parent, watch student-athletes compete and visit their high schools, and write or telephone student-athletes or their parents. So that's a contact period. And these are coming directly from NCAA.org. We'll link to these in our show notes so you can go to those and have it as a reference. The next thing is an evaluation period. During an evaluation period, a college coach may watch college-bound student-athletes compete, visit their high schools, and write or telephone student-athletes or their parents. However, a college coach may not have face-to-face contact with college-bound student-athletes or their parents off the college's campus during an evaluation period. So you have the contact period where they can go out, the evaluation period which they are allowed to have contact but not face-to-face unless it's on their campus. Then you have a quiet period. During a quiet period, a college coach may only have face-to-face contact with college-bound student-athletes or their parents on the college's campus. A coach may not watch student athletes compete unless a competition occurs on the college's campus or visit their high schools. And coaches may write or telephone college-bound student athletes or their parents during this time. So they will be allowed to communicate digitally, essentially, through the telephone, through emails, through the mail as well. But they are not allowed to be out in the schools. Then the fourth is a dead period. A dead period is when a college may not have face-to-face contact with the college-bound student athletes or parents, may not watch student athletes compete or visit their high schools. They can, however, write and telephone student athletes or their parents during the dead period. So essentially, during all of this, they're going to be able to make phone calls. They're going to be able to send emails, but it really varies whether they can see them on campus or off campus or not at all. So understanding those periods are important. You definitely want to know, when are you going to have those periods which they can visit the student athletes off campus? That's an important part of this, and that's going to be during the contact period, which right now, going into December, we are in that period. So you may have coaches showing up at your school, and I think it's critical to the success of recruiting the student athlete that you do have some way of being able to at least take a minute and meet with those coaches. So the first thing I would suggest is that you maybe it's something that is just a bullet point thing, but you put this together for your school administration, for your athletic director, and based on the Division I FBS and FCS recruiting calendars, as well as the Division II, which varies quite differently, be able to tell the administration that we will have coaches come in during this time. And I would like the ability to be able to meet with them just for a few minutes and be able to share some information about our student athletes. And I think it's very important that you do that. You do want those coaches coming into your school. You don't want them to think this is a place that's hard to get into and kind of skip over it, because you will have those times where there is that student athlete who maybe is under the radar a little bit. You want those coaches to be able to come in. You want to be able to share his information. I think the worst thing you could have is a situation where college coaches aren't coming into your school and parents start to feel compelled to look at different services in order to bring their student athletes in front of college coaches, because in general, it's a waste of their money. College coaches really do rely on the high school coach, and so being accessible, especially during the contact period, is important. So here's a couple tips to be ready for the contact period. Number one, get together with guidance and be able to put together essentially some printed out transcripts. Whether those get the official stamp on them or not isn't necessarily important right now. At some point, they will have to send official transcripts, but the college coach is going to want to see transcripts of what the student is doing in school. So if you could get together with guidance and potentially print those out, have a stack of them ready to go, whether you are able to meet with the coach who's coming in and your administration gives you that time, or you need to defer that to the athletic director or potentially to guidance, it's important that they get that information. In the days of VHS and DVDs, coaches wanted to pick up the video as well, but now at this point, we can send them the video. They've probably seen it anyway. So now it's important for them, though, to see what's really going on with that student academically. Students self-report a lot of these things, but really what it comes down to is they're going to need to see the transcript to see if this is a guy who is going to fit in their school, if this is a guy they're going to be able to get in. The next thing to do is to meet with your administration and see if they are willing to be able to escort that coach down to your classroom, allow you to step out for a minute. Potentially, if it is a bigger college, if this is a big-time recruit, can they provide you somebody who can watch your room for a few minutes so that you're able to meet with that coach? For me, I really communicated as the high school coach with the people in my department and explained to them this was important for our kids and this was important to them as student athletes for them to be able to utilize their abilities in football to be able to get into college. And so I involved them and they would, you know, make themselves available. I'd let them know going into it, hey, we're in a contact period, or I know these coaches are coming in today. Maybe they've called ahead and let me know they were going to be there. Would you be able to watch my class if they show up during this period? And, you know, I never had a teacher say no. They were always more than willing to be able to do that. And as a teacher, I was always set up to be able to have some activities during that period where if I had to step out for a minute, I could quickly put our students on some kind of activity that they could do on their own. So for that 10 minutes or so that I was with the coach, they'd be able to stay on task and get some things done in the classroom, and it wasn't too much of an interruption. From being on the recruiting side of this, I know that it's not always possible for a coach to meet with a recruiter who's coming in. There's several coaches out there who may have some kind of an administrative role. They might be in a meeting. They might be at the board office and not on campus. In those situations, those coaches who were best always did a good job of letting the athletic director handle a lot of those things. And I can think of one school in particular where I got to really know that athletic director, because most of the time the head coach, who was also a principal, was not available. He had other things he had to do. He might be able to pop in for a minute, but it allowed me to go in. And again, as a Division III coach, I could sit down with the student athletes. There's a little bit different rules for the Division I and IIs, but I could sit down with that student athlete and communicate with them. The athletic director always did have those transcripts for me, so they were well prepared in that school to receive the college coaches. But it really started with that high school coach saying, hey, this is a contact period. We're going to have people in. It's important to me that we get them what they need, and if they are allowed to meet with the student athlete, that we allow them a few minutes. For the most part, it is going to be your Division IIIs who can be in really at any time. I'd say a solid plan for a Division III coach is to let coaches know when you're coming. Because you are not necessarily visiting during the contact period, you might have visit days set up throughout the year where you could get on the road. I think it's very important to let that college coach know when you'll be in, and if possible, to match that up with his planning period or a lunch period where he'll be able to sit down and have some time and you don't interrupt his day. Regardless, make sure that you plan ahead, coaches, for the college coach coming in, whether that's during contact period or if it's coaches who don't have that kind of recruiting calendar, being able to make those athletes and their information accessible to the coach who comes in, because it's definitely a way to get you back. You do develop a reputation as an easy school to recruit, as a difficult school to recruit, and really it's all based on how easy is it for us to come in and get that information. You know, as a Division III coach, you were going to go out, and depending on the area you're going to be in that day, you tried to plan it out to be able to hit somewhere between 7 and 10 schools during the course of that day. So coaches really do want to get in and out. I know there were always those places where maybe I'd sit down and talk with the coach a little bit more and get on the board and draw some things up. But I kind of knew where those places were too, where coaches wanted to get some more of that information. So in general, that's how you handle the different periods and prepare for it. I think it's also necessary to think about, how do you prepare your student athletes for what this process is going to look like? And years ago, I picked up a manual basically that a high school coach put together for his student athletes, and it really explained the process. It was designed for both the student athlete and their parent, so they understood exactly what it was. And I'm going to go through what I have here and just give a brief outline of some of the things I think are important to include in that. The first thing included in this manual, and when I did this, this was the time of printing things out on paper and sending it home with student athletes. We did get to move to some digital things where we would make it available through, at the time it was a CD we would give to the players with their playbook. We would also put these recruiting manuals in there. But I think you can look to put something like this on your websites now and make it available both to the student, athlete, and parent. And so the first thing I have in here is essentially a cover letter that explains the process, explains what it takes to be successful in high school, explains what they're going to really need to do as a student athlete. And one of the main things I have bolded here is a section that says about the student athlete that they excel in all they do, especially in the three requisite categories for real success as a student athlete. First, academics, then citizenship in and out of school, and finally, athletics. And this is really built around giving them the ideas of how they can start to set themselves apart as a student athlete. So I have the cover letter that we go through, and that's on the front and really kind of introduces them to the recruiting process. The next section really is an outline of college football recruiting and helping them understand when it's going to be. For me, if I was doing this now, again, I'd put that on the website. I would put digital links to this and let the parents know what the recruiting calendar looks like. If I was using social media, I would alert parents that this is a contact period. I would alert student athletes that this is a contact period. I think one of the worst things that can happen to a student athlete is they're not in school that day when the coach comes in, that they're absent for some reason. Now, obviously, you do get sick or there are things you have to be out for, but for the most part, they want to see that this is somebody who's committed to school and is there every single day. And outside of extenuating circumstances, you want to make sure that's possible, especially during that contact period. The thing I start with in this section is, do you know when the process begins? And just posing questions there, maybe at the end of your senior year, maybe at the end of your junior year. And then I go into it really starts at the end of your eighth grade year when you're scheduling your classes for high school. And so this is information you do want to get down to your junior high athletes, those ones who might have those aspirations of playing at a higher level. They need to understand that everything they do once they enter those doors of the high school is on the record. I've seen so many kids who mess up their ability to be recruited because they get in and they don't take it seriously as a freshman or even in their sophomore year, and then they're always digging out and they ruin their opportunities to be recruited. They greatly decrease their chances for the number of schools that they can be recruited to. So we want them to excel as a student athlete, and a lot of that is just, again, preparing themselves in junior high for the more difficult academics in high school. Okay. Another key I list for them is that they need to decide to succeed in both academics and citizenship. And I go into that in a little bit of detail there and talk about some of the things that they want to think about in terms of being a citizen, both in the community and in their school. We want to see as coaches really some well-rounded student athletes, because we know that's important to our admissions department too. They do want to see that this student athlete was involved in other things. And again, there's a wide range when you look at what money is going to look like from the college standpoint. Yes, there are going to be those athletic scholarships. Division I is all full. Everything underneath Division I FBS can be partial. Some, obviously, Division III don't offer athletic, but they do offer academic. And understanding where are the markers, when am I into essentially what is called merit money, you know, what's the grade point average at that school. Also understanding, you know, what are the certain things that every different school is going to look at. I know for me as a college coach, I would go in and understand right away, what is admissions looking at? What are some of the key things on the report card, on the transcript that they're going to look at? What are the classes? How many C's are they going to accept? Will they accept D's? Will they accept F's? And that kind of stuff is important for you to know as a recruiter, because you don't want to be wasting your time. But it's also important to be able to relay that to the coach coming in, and the coach should understand that, you know, what are some of the key things this student athlete is interested in the school? Does he have a chance? The next section for the student athlete that I put together really focuses on the how, and I go through and talk about some myths, like the trap that there's scouts sitting in the stands at all the time. What I want to make them aware of is that that's not happening, that college coaches, as I mentioned before, are really restricted in how much contact they're allowed to have. And the university in general is restricted in how they're going to be able to contact student athletes. So helping them understand and debunk some of those myths that they're going to be people in the stands all the time, et cetera, that's something that the student athletes need to know. The next section we focus on in the manual that I give to them is to prepare, that we want them to be able to evaluate colleges on their own, understand if it fits for you from a football perspective, from a student perspective, from a social aspect as well. They have to be comfortable there. They want to be able to see this college as a place they can be 4 years. Your kids who are on top of it, they will start studying it right away. They'll start to figure out what they're looking for. But in all honesty, most of these guys are really focused on what's going on with them in the present time, so they don't look too far ahead. But emphasizing constantly about the academics, about character, about citizenship are very important. Going from there, I do include some information for the parents about off-season workouts, about how our workouts contribute to their ability to prepare for this and what they're going to have to do as a student athlete. I mentioned some things about camps and what they can do to increase their exposure. And for us, it was outlining some specific camps we knew about within driving range, camps that we knew about as far as the satellite camps. I think always making your students aware of those opportunities is important. From there, I go into planning some college visits, understanding how test scores are going to work at different colleges, understand when the tests are going to be and how to prepare for those. I think it's good maybe to even bring guidance in at some time and have them talk to your team, maybe after a workout, before a workout might even be better while they're not tired, but have the ability to get them to understand how those test scores are going to work and how they affect recruiting. NAIA is another aspect of that, and a lot of times NAIA is regional, depending on how many schools are in your area, but understanding the NAIA aspects of recruiting are important as well, sliding scales, all those types of things. I think going through and giving your student athletes those resources, again, I think a web page is the best to do this, and putting those links on there that they can get to that and understand the different levels of football that are available to them from FBS, FCS, Division II, Division III, NAIA, and even JUCO, which would be an option for some of your athletes. I do go through and outline for them the procedure for clearinghouse and those types of things. Again, it's easy to get them to that information with the link. And looking at this, I kind of date myself in this manual. I had to have a procedure for putting together videotapes, which at the time I first started doing this were actual videotapes, VHS. We had to send out, and the process was really going through and giving them a sheet to identify plays. For the most part now, these student athletes have the ability to go in and create their own highlights. And in our show notes, I'll share two articles, one designed for offense, one designed for defense, and guidelines in putting together your highlight tape. Because I see a lot of these that just honestly aren't good. I could point to a number of receiver highlight tapes that start with a kid catching a hitch and falling down for a two-yard gain. And I'll tell you what, if I see a few of those, I'm probably moving on. I'm not getting too deep into that videotape because to me it says, well, this kid really doesn't have a lot of speed. Yes, he's catching the ball. That's more a product of the system. I want to be able to see athletic ability. So the two articles I linked to in the show notes are going to have exactly some of the things we want to get on tape. And I think you can include that in a manual for your athletes on here's how you put together your highlight film. I think the length of it is important too. I see a lot of these kids just go through and they star all the good plays from their season. And this thing ends up being an hour long. The college coach wants to see 15 to 25 clips and be able to get a snapshot of what this guy looks like to be able to make that decision. Are we continuing on with him? So it's very important that you show a variety of athletic ability within that highlight tape, including all the different aspects of the position that the player plays. So for example, if it's an offensive lineman, you may want to show some level one blocks, some one-on-one blocks there. You may want to show him moving on to level two, getting downfield and working on level three. If you pull and trap, you want to show some of the different aspects of if he's a trapper, if he's the rapper, etc. Think about the different kinds of blocks that coaches want to see. They definitely want to see from an offensive line perspective that they can pass pro. Well, you might not have a lot of drop back, but find those one or two good clips that really show that ability for him. And again, I suggest you go and click on the show notes for those two articles, one on offense, one on defense, and how to put together that highlight tape. Feel free to cut and paste from that and put it into your own manual to help these guys put together something that's great. The next aspect of this, as you're preparing for some of those recruiting nights, as you're preparing for the college coaches to come into school, is to have a prospect sheet. I suggest that it's a one-pager. I know a lot of guys go through and put together packets for your guys who are seniors or juniors. I think that's good. Some coaches will put transcripts in there. And again, they're unofficial, but it's going to give that coach an idea of if he could get that kid in or not, something that he could take right to admissions. And he can kind of get a yes or no on, is this kid going to work for us academically? And if not, being able to share that information with the coach is important. A coach should always know what does it take to get a student athlete into this college or university that's recruiting me. So a couple of things as far as the prospect sheet. Make sure at the top of it, You have, and again, a one-pager works best, even if you include a page for each of your guys. I would always use this as a cover sheet. I did have a prospect sheet for each of those guys, which would share more information about them. But I would go through and I would categorize at least what I felt were those scholarship type guys, the Division III type guys as well. And a lot of that's just based on what I know about athletic ability, about size, etc. I would say this, before you put a student athlete on a contact sheet, make sure he wants to be on it. I know a coach here right in the area, the best thing he does, and I appreciated it so much as a coach, was when I went into his school, he knew whether those kids wanted to play college football or not, and he knew what level they were willing to play at. And there's some of those guys who just don't want to go to the smaller school. They only want to do it if they get an offer, maybe a preferred walk-on. And it's important to know that. So, you know, the small colleges, don't waste their time. Don't give them names and have them chase those names, because they will. I mean, I'm going back to recruiting, and at this time of the year, I'd be making 30 calls a night trying to figure out who are the guys, who are the prospects in our area that we're really interested in and who are interested in playing football at our level. So help the coaches. Make sure those athletes that you do list there are truly interested and have the ability to play at a certain level. You don't have to go through and make those decisions. Ultimately, I've always felt it's up to the college coach to say, yes, this is the guy we want, or no, this guy will not fit with us. But having this information together is important. So I would go through and list basically everybody in the high school who I felt had the ability, anybody in my program. So I'd start with the senior prospects for scholarship, senior prospects, potentially non-scholarship, my junior prospects, at that time I did not categorize them, and then sophomore prospects. And those were guys who were in my program, varsity program 10 through 12. I would say now, as I see more and more programs incorporating freshmen, and you know about their abilities as a player, maybe you know a little bit about them now, almost halfway through the year, about their academics, that feel free to list them as well. At the top, I put the school information, which includes the high school name, the address, the school phone, the fax number. I put my information, home phone or cell phone. I put my alma mater in there as well, my office phone, and my email address. And then underneath, for each player that I would list in those different categories, the seniors, juniors, etc., was their name, their home address, their phone number, their position, offense, defense, specialist, height, weight, 40 time of what we had them at, and I would note on there if it was a handheld. There were some places we could get electronic, but I would note handheld or electronic. For the seniors, we would always go through and look at their core GPA, and if you don't know how to calculate that, again, you could see that at the clearinghouse and how core grade point average is calculated. So it's important to know within your school that there are going to be classes that do qualify as core and classes that don't qualify for the clearinghouse. And that's important when you get into Division I. Their grade point average, their rank, any test score, ACT, SAT, and then of course their jersey number. That information, I think, is a good snapshot for coaches to look down your prospect list. It's a good sheet for you to work off of. When that coach comes in and says, hey, coach, who do you have for me? Or he sits down at the table at a recruiting fair, he can go through and highlight guys that he feels, you know, from that snapshot are going to work. And most of these guys have, at this point, maybe seen some film, maybe seen some guys on huddle. Maybe your players have sent that along to them. So this allows them to start to know who this player is as well. The next page I think is really important here is guidelines for players in dealing with a college recruiter. I think it's important because, again, it's one of those things that it does reflect on your program how these guys handle the recruiting process. If you haven't set this up for success, for example, sending college coaches names of kids who really have no interest in playing that at that level, of having kids not prepared on how they're going to handle meeting with a coach. I think all that reflects on your program. And again, when that coach has a decision to make, am I going to stop at this school or am I going to head to the next one? You know, this is important to it. You want your school to be a place where they want to stop. this guy is always prepared for me. He always has the information. Maybe he always doesn't have players, but I know that the kids are great, and this is a place I want to stop. So guidelines for dealing with college recruiters. Number one, be respectful with everyone you talk to. Address the coach who calls you as sir or coach when you're on the phone with them. Be honest with every coach. If you have no interest, be honest and tell them. Don't lead them on. They will respect your honesty. The worst thing I would get was a kid who wouldn't be definitive and say, hey, coach, I'm not interested. And then a month into the process, after I've called him, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, says, coach, yeah, I'm not really interested. I want to go to a bigger school. Maybe he didn't know, but a lot of times those kids do know. They like the attention. So they need to be able to set things aside and say, yeah, coach, I'm not interested in your school. I appreciate you calling. Good luck with things. Number three, never burn bridges. The coach you are talking to may end up at a different college that you are interested in. All college coaches know and have contacts at all levels of college football. So never act like you're too good for them or talk poorly about their program. They will remember you if you deal with them in an honest and respectful way and may be able to help you later. I know specifically, my best friend in high school had that situation happen. In fact, the coach who was recruiting him at the time was at, I believe, Pitt. And yeah, he was at Pitt. He was the tight ends coach there. He ended up leaving there. He went on to Morehead State. And my friend in high school, who was our quarterback, he was being recruited a lot of the Division I's. He didn't quite, I guess, show those things they needed to see on tape. But at that time especially, you know, it wasn't like today where you have instant access to everything. So this particular coach moved on to Morehead State, called him up and said, hey, where'd you end up going? He said, nowhere. He said, oh, well, we have a scholarship available here. I would love to have you here. So he ended up getting a scholarship to Morehead State. It ended up being initially a partial, but he ended up being a full scholarship. And that coach who recruited him was John Harbaugh. So John Harbaugh remembered him. He went somewhere else, remembered him, gave him a call, and he ended up with an opportunity there, even though at the time he had not been contacted by that school at all. So again, don't burn bridges. It's so important for your players to understand that. Number four, return all calls even if you are not interested. Let the recruiter know where you stand with them. Again, be upfront, be transparent, call them back. Text them. That's easy as well. Let them know, hey, coach, thank you for the call. I'm not interested in your school at this time. Again, that's going to have a lot more respect for you and your program than that player who strings them along. Number five, remember that you represent not only yourself, but the program. If you lead a recruiter on or do not return calls, that may ruin an opportunity for someone in our program later. Be first class in your dealings with others. I can't tell you how appreciative of a school I was and of a coach I was when I could go into the school, when I could sit down with a player and he would be polite, he would be up front and say, coach, thank you for coming in and seeing me. I appreciate your interest. This isn't what I'm looking for at the time. That went a long way with me as a recruiter when I could get that respect from those the coach that he would, you know, make sure his players are doing things the right way, that players were handling things respectfully and being transparent about what they were, because as a college recruiter, you're crunched for time, especially those guys working at the Division III level who have to cast a wider net. Every minute that they spend on the phone, every minute that they spend on the road, every minute that they spend writing an email is valuable. So if you can help them along in doing their jobs, it goes a long way. Lastly, I'll say this. Try to understand the different levels of football that are out there and how they work. So, for example, within Division III, there's a niche of high academic schools who almost work in their recruiting process like a Division I, in that they're going to offer a spot on their roster. They're not bringing everybody through the door because they can't get everybody through the door. There are schools that don't need athletics to make their admissions class. right? There's a certain amount of spots they're going to bring in every class. Those become valuable. So there's a number of schools out there, the higher academic ones, where if you're a good student and a student athlete, the student athlete aspect gets you in the door. They might be a 15% acceptance rate, but at that school, because you're a student athlete, that coach can advocate for you. He can give you a slot on the roster and you're going to get in. And that's valuable to your students. Just understand, what are the different types of schools out there? How do they recruit? How do those work? And, you know, understanding that the different schools that are going to come through, the ones that are going to be in contact with you as a coach, is going to be really helpful to your student athletes out there. I do have an article that I'll link about the high academics and some things I learned as both a college coach and a high school coach in that. Best of luck to you and your student athletes during recruiting season. If there's anything you need or questions you have that I can help you with, my email is kgrabowski@usafootball.com. My Twitter is @CoachKGrabowski. Check out everything we're doing on Twitter at FBDEV Coach, at FBDEVCOACH. We're going to be adding a lot of content out there. And as I mentioned before, go to footballdevelopment.com to look at our advanced systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling. If you are enjoying the podcast, please head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. If you have a minute, submit a review. Those kinds of things help the podcast, and I really appreciate them.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.